Okay, so today I told you to get up to the sugya of Nogeya Be'edus and then maybe to begin the sugya. I'm going to finish shir today at 12:30 and then I'm going to give 10 minute halacha shir at 12:30 because I got to be back at meetings by like 12:40, 12:45. So so we got 45 minutes. So what I want to do is I want to just read through the Gemara with you a little bit today, make a few ha'aras along the way, get up to the Nogeya Be'edus sugya and sort of frame it for you and let you know what exactly you're looking for. It seemed just from the few moments I was able to spend the Beis Medrash this morning, different people had different reactions to the degree of difficulty of the Nogeya Be'edus sugya and what exactly we're looking for. So let's get moving over here. So let's pick up again in the Gemara. We'll go back to Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Zeh Posel Dayano, look at the third wide line. Zeh Posel Dayano. So the Mishnah, we're now moving on to part two of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah was how you choose the Beis Din, whether where you had Machlokas Ramein the Chachamim, who chooses the third guy, whether it's the Balei Din or the Dayanim. Then part two of the Mishnah, Zeh Posel Dayano, so shall Zeh Posel Dayano, shall Zeh Divra Meir, Chamom Reim Besaib as much Mevelein Raishin Krovno Psulin. Machlokas Tanayim, what does it take to Posel the other guy's Dayan? Do I just have to say, he looks funny, I don't like him, or do I have to actually have something credible to be able to apostle him? I have to be able to actually prove that he's a karov or a apostle, that there's something inherently wrong with him. So that is the machlokas from Meir and the Chacham. So says the Gemara, kol kiminei d'apostle dayane, who's that kashan? Kol kiminei d'apostle dayane, just to be clear, we got the Gemara over here, who's that kashan? Kol kiminei d'apostle dayane. How can you, Rabbi Meir, say that you could just apostle him, that you don't need to prove that he's a karov or apostle, right? If you're without any proof that he's a karov or apostle, who do you think you are? You're just going to apostle Dayan and say, I don't like him, and that's going to be good enough to go apostle Dayan? Some Rabbi Yochanan, Be'erchos Shebesuria Shanu, that we're talking about, Erchos Shebesuria. What are Erchos Shebesuria? Anyone get a, what? The courts in Suria, Jewish or not Jewish? What did you think? Right. Jews, but Jews who are not necessarily familiar with Chosh Mishpat. So it's Jewish people, but they're not necessarily judging based on Jewish law. So by Erchosh of Surya, you could say, I don't want to go to that court. You're allowed to disqualify the judge and say that you're not interested. Since they're not Pekin B'din Torah, as Rashi says. So anyone could say that they're not interested, even the Lova. Aval Mumchim Lova. But when it comes to a Mumcha, if it's a Dayan Mumcha, then you're not allowed to say, I'm not interested. At least the Lova is not allowed to say that he's not interested in that court. So now, basically what we just what just happened is the Gemara had said a chiddush that the only time Rav Meir allows passing the other guy's dayan is if he's not a real dayan, if he's just a chosha besuria, he's not a legitimate bona fide dayan. But if it's a legitimate bona fide dayan, there is no machlokas. Everyone would agree you're allowed to pass him. That is yesod. Now, what the Gemara does is it challenges that yesod. So what I always like to do when I learn Gemara is number things. It's very important to, just for clarity's sake, to know, okay, we're going to have a whole conversation back and forth and back and forth. How many rayas do we try to bring for that yesod? How many rayas do we try to bring against that yesod? So let's take a look. Number one, Hamidiktani Seifa. So the best raya always is if you could bring a raya from the very same Mishnah. That's always going to work the best. So Hamidiktani Seifa, from our Mishnah, the very same line. It says V'chachamim Amrim Emosai B'zman Shemevi Raya Shein Kroven Upsulin, that according to the Chachamim, when can you possibly the other guy's die? And only if you could prove that there's something inherently wrong with him. Avolim Ayikshirin. Oh, Mumchin Mipi Beis Din. But if the guy is a kosher or a mumcha, you cannot pasul him. What does that tell you? Rav Meir must hold. It must mean that Rav Meir holds that even if he is a mumcha, you can pasul him. That's why the Chachamim have to tell you that you're not allowed to pasul him if he's a mumcha, because Rav Meir thinks you can pasul him if he's a mumcha. Question mark. So that is question number one. Again, the yesod we said was that if the guy is a mumcha, everyone agrees that you're not allowed to pasul him. But then why do the Chachamim emphasize that if he's a mumcha, you're not a lot of apostle him? The implication is that Rav Meir disagrees with them about that. That it's not agreed upon by everybody. So that is kasha number one. So answers the Gemara, Hachi Kamar, Avlim Hayu Ksherin Nasu Kim Mumchin Mipi Bezdin Venu Yachal Apostlan. When the Chacham say Mumchin, they don't mean Mumchin. When the Chacham say Mumchin, they just mean regular kosher guys who are not Krovim and they're not Psulim. But they're also not Mumchin, they're also also not experts. So what? And all the chachamim are trying to emphasize is that if the guy is just a regular judge, he's an archosh b'surya, and he's not a karov, and he's not an apostle, the chachamim believe they should be treated like mumchin. And what is the real din by mumchin? Well, by mumchin, everyone agrees, even Reb Meir, that no one's allowed to apostle them, that the love is not allowed to apostle mumchin. Good, so that is rejection of raya number of kasha number one. So we had one kasha on the yesod, and it's been rejected. Kasha number two, tashma. Amru lo the Rebbe Meir, the Chacham say to Rebbe Meir, lo kol emenu she posel dayon she mumcha l'rabim. The Chacham argued to Rebbe Meir, who gives this guy the right to posel a dayon that's a mumcha? Again, implication being that Rebbe Meir holds, you can pasul a mumcha. So again, that's kasha number two on the yesod, because our yesod was that even Rebbe Meir agrees that a mumcha cannot be pasuled. Here you have Beferish, that the Chachamim are saying, since he's a mumcha, you can't pasul him, implying that Rebbe Meir holds, you can pasul a mumcha. So answers the Gemara, Eima lo kalei menu sheposel dayan shi imchuhu rabim aleihem. What does that phrase mean? Imchuhu rabim aleihem. Obviously, it comes from mumcha, but it's not the same. Because if it were mumcha, then it wouldn't be an answer. So, what is mumchu rab malayim? No, you all saw the Gemara. What does that mean? How do you understand that?
Establish.
What?
Like establish them as.
And that's a fancy way of saying. Or meaning erchosha b'surya, right? It's exactly the same as erchosha b'surya. It's just people who have been accepted by the community to judge them, even though those people are clearly unlettered in the laws of Chosha Mishpat, right? So they're not real mumchim, they're really are Chosha B'Surya. That's what we're talking about. That's where the machlokas is. By real mumchim, there's no machlokas. Tanya Nami Hachi, and we have a brice that supports that the idea that it's not real mumchim, because it says, the brice says, the olam posel v'holi chachi kabel of bezin shemumcha l'rabim divrem meir. The Rameir says you could keep posseling the other guy's judges until he brings a mumchim. Once he brings a mumcha, then you're done. Then you can't pasul anymore. So you see that Reb Meir agrees that by a mumcha you can't pasul. So far we had two kashas in our yesod. Number three, v'ha'edim k'mumchim. I mean, now the third kasha, we start with the most direct kasha, straight from the Mishnah, right? Then we go with a kasha that requires a little bit more of an analysis based on the chacham diuk from the argument the chacham make. Now the Gemara is going to go to a little bit more of a stretch, meaning not a stretch. It's logically glatt. It just takes more logical steps to get to the kasha. The third kasha we're going to have is not really about dayanim. It's about Edim, but we make an association between Edim and Dayanim, and then we're medayik how to apply it into our case. So says the Gemara, Edim k'mumchin dami. The equivalent of being a dayan mumcha is being an eid kasher. What does that mean? Edim k'mumchin dami. Why is that the equivalent? Why is an eid like a mumcha? So what advantage does a mumcha have over, let's say, Erchosha B'Surya? Over Erchosha B'Surya. What's the advantage that a mumcha has? Why is it better? What? In Surya, now in general, if you're choosing a court and you're deciding between a court of Bezin Mumchim or a Choshab Surya, why would Bezin Mumchim be preferable from a Torah perspective? They're judging by halacha, right? They are what the answers they're going to give you are the ideal in halacha. Now, what is the ideal standard of evidence in halacha? When you're coming up with evidence, the best evidence in halacha is Shnei Edim. Right? Edim is the best standard of evidence in halacha. Now, does the aid need to be an expert witness, a professional witness? No, there's no such concept in halacha. We would actually probably look down at that, at someone being an expert witness, because Beis Din is looking for the truth. They're not looking for someone who expertly knows how to tell them what he thinks they want to hear. Right? So the best standard of evidence is just a guy and his friend coming and telling us what they know, as long as they are kosher. That's all they need to be, kosher. They don't need to be experts or anything. So the highest standard of evidence is just Edim Ksherim. The highest standard of Dayanim is Dayanim Mumchim. So whatever the halachas would be about pasuling Dayanim Mumchim should be the same halachas but pasuling Edim. I can't just simply pasul a Dayan Mumcha, and I can't simply just pasul an Eid. So frek the Gemara, v'ha edim k'mum chandam, edim have the status of a mumcha, v'amra meir zeh posel edim shal zeh, zeh posel edim shal zeh, and yet we see you could passel the other guy's edim, and therefore what's the extension the Gemara is making? If you could passel another person's edim, then what must you also be able to do? What's the equivalent of an aid? A dayan mumcha. Must be you could passel a dayan mumcha. Which is kasha number three in our yesod, because the yesod we had was that everyone agrees you can't passel a dayan mumcha, you can only passel erchosh abasuria, according to Rav Meir. Right? The machlok shamer and the chum is about erchosh abasuria, but a dayan mumcha, even Rav Meir would agree you can't passel that. That was the yesod. And here we have that Rav Meir says you're allowed to passel an aid, but an aid is an equivalent of a dayan mumcha. So answers the Gemara. How many answers does the Gemara have for this? So I think it's a very hard Gemara to know what every line is coming to address exactly. So I'm trying to do over here is just show three kashas we had. First two we already answered. Now this third kasha on this yesod, the Gemara is going to have, I believe, two answers. One of them is going to be in the middle of Amidah. So answers the Gemara. Itmar ala amrei shlakish pe kadosh yomar davar zeh tni edo. It's a very unusual lashon that the Gemara has. What does it mean? Pek hadosh yomar davar zeh. So it sounds like saying, how could someone who's so holy say something so ridiculous? Right? How could you say such a thing? Tini edo. So what did we change? What? Right. Meaning, our whole kasha was that a mayor says you could passel the other guy's edim. Edim are like mumchim. Shnei Edim is the highest standard of evidence. Who do you think you are to possibly the other guy's Edim? Right? So the Gemara answers, no, your source is messed up. Rav Meir never said you could possibly the other guy's Edim. Rav Meir said you could possibly the other guy's Aid. Singular, you cannot possibly the other guy's Edim. Tani Edo. So says Gemara, well, Edo Lamai. What are you using the single Aid for? Ilem Lamamon Rachmana Pasli. If you're using him from Mamon, well, you don't need a guy to possibly him. If you want to extract mammon with one aid, the Torah says that's no good. One aid comes and says, Reuven owes money to Shimon, well then he's just stop telling Lashon Hara, because it's not acceptable to extract any mammon, right? Ilish Shavua, if he's coming for, so I wouldn't need a chiddush to tell me that I'm allowed to passel him. Ilish Shavua, and if it's about being Mechayev Gai Shavua, well, Himuni Mehemun Kevei Trei, why do I have the right to passel an aid echad who's coming to be Mechayev Shavua? He's the Eid Echad, as far as being Mechayev Shavua, is considered like Shnei Eidim. He's just as strong as two Eidim. Meaning, whichever way you go, there's no room for Machlokas. There's no room for to have one opinion say, oh yeah, you can pass, the other opinion say, you can't pass. If you're dealing with an Eid Echad in regards to Mammon, you don't need to pass him. Of course, he's already passed. If you're dealing with discrediting him in regards to being Mechayev Shavua, well, you certainly don't have the authority to do that. So, we're still trying to answer the question of how can you passel the other guy's edim? We try to answer that you're not passeling his edim, you're passeling his aid, singular. But that's not working. So the Gemara says, Le'olam l'mamon. No, you are passeling him in terms of mamon. And the situation is, what was the problem with saying that it was the mammon? Was that Eid Echad is already passed by the Torah for mammon? No, the situation is L'tzricha D'kibli Aleika Beitrei. Situation is that he was acceptable for mammon. It was acceptable. How did he become acceptable for mammon? You're Mekabel. The person says, if you look at Rashi, B'tchilas Divrein Kiblu Aleim B'shnayim, that sometimes you have two guys arguing about something, they'll say, okay, whatever this guy says, we'll go with whatever he says. He's only an Eid Echad, he doesn't have a halachic ability to determine what the outcome should be, but if both parties agreed at the outset that they'll go with whatever he says, so then you go with whatever he says. So if you're Mekabel Kibbeh Trey, then, so think about it, what are we saying over here? If Reuven and Shimon, Reuven claims Shimon owes him $100, Shimon says, no I don't, right? So both Reuven and Shimon say, okay, let's go to Levi, whatever Levi says. So Levi says, sorry Shimon, you owe Reuven $100. Shimon's like, okay, let's not go to Levi. What do you mean? You already just said that. When we go to Levi, we go to whatever. And now we're saying, Rav Meir holds that Shimon's allowed to say, no, I don't like Levi. Levi's no good. I'm passeling Levi. I don't accept Levi anymore. That's Rav Meir's sheet. And the Chum is saying, no, you can't do that. So the Gemara says, so what's the big chiddush of Rameir? My kamashimlon, what's Rameir's whole chiddush then? The matziyadarbe, that he's allowed to change his mind. That even though first he said, I'll go with whatever Levi says, now he's going to say, I don't really go with whatever Levi says. So the Gemara says, well, of course you're allowed to change your mind on something like that. Because he was saying something ridiculous. Why would you trust Levi? Tanina, Amar lo neman alai Abba, neman alai Avicha, neman alai Gimel Roy Bakar, Rameir, Amar yachalach sabo, Chama Rameir, yachalach sabo. We already had that machlokas. We already know, if that's the whole chiddush of our Mishnah, that Rameir says, I'm allowed apostle, the other guy's aid, means when I first said I would listen to that aid, and then I changed my mind, that I have the right to change my mind, and the Chum say, no, you don't have the right to change your mind. Well, we already have another Mishnah that tells us exactly that same point. It doesn't tell it to us in regards to Dayanim, in regards to Edim, it tells us that same point in regards to Dayanim. That if we're picking a Beis Din, and I say, yeah, it's okay, your dad could be on the Beis Din. And then I don't like the way the Beis Din decided, so Rameir says, I can say, nah, your dad can't be on the Beis Din. And the Chum say, no, you said he can be, so he can be, and that's it, you're stuck with him. Assuming that when you originally Makabel that Dayan, you didn't accept his father to be all three Dayanim, you accepted his father to serve as one Dayan. But question mark. What's the question where we stand now? If the whole Chiddush, that Rameir, that the Machloks Rameir and the Chum is, can I passel someone who's inherently passel, but I have previously accepted? Like an Eid Echad, he's inherently puzzled. But I previously said, it's okay, I'm going to take him anyway. If that's the whole Machlokas, well, we already had that Machlokas once. And therefore what? That can't be the whole Machlokas. And therefore what? We're back to our original Kasha. What was our original Kasha? You see, this is where it gets, you have to trace it back. What was our original Kasha? We said he is sowed, that you're not allowed to puzzle a Mumcha. Yet we have a brisa that says you're allowed to passel someone's aid. And an aid is just like a mumcha. So what do you do about that brisa? So we thought we can get out of it by saying, oh, you're only passeling an aid echad. But if that's going to be the path that we go down, that's what it means, you're only passeling an aid echad, well then the brisa is telling me something that I already know from an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about passeling Dayanim that I've previously accepted. The Brisa would be teaching me about passeling Edim that I've previously accepted, or Eid Echad that I've previously accepted. It can't be the Brisa is telling me the same thing as the Mishnah, just repeating to me the same thing as the Mishnah. So answers the Gemara, no, it can be, because it's telling me there is an additional Chiddush by applying that which we learned by Dayanim to Edim. Tzricha, di'itana, or that which we learned in regards to being Mekabel Abba V'Avicha as a Dayan, there's a certain chiddush in there that we don't see by Edim and vice versa, by being Mekabel apostle, an Eid Echad rather. So Tzricha, Ditana Abba V'Avicha, had we only had the Machlokas in regards to accepting someone's relative, V'Hakam Rabban Delamas Yadr, maybe Shum Abba V'Avicha Zulialma. I'll say, yeah, you can't back out of that, because once you accepted Abba V'Avicha, there's nothing inherently wrong with Abba V'Avicha. They could serve as Edim. They just can't serve as Edim on this case. So when you were Mekabel them, you were Mekabel people who are inherently good people. There was nothing wrong with them as Edim. They were just, this case would have been off limits. You were Mekabel them to apply that, to allow them to judge this case. So that's where I would say that the Chacham hold, once you accept it, you're stuck with it. Avulchad kebetrei deli amalochazi emim odeleder abmeir. But if I accepted one guy to serve as a witness alone, that never works. So maybe that's an invalid acceptance, and I have the ability to back out on that acceptance, even according to the Chacham. Biashmin Baha, and if it only would have told me the case of accepting one guy is serving as two, I would say Baha Kamar Ameir, that's where Ameir holds, that I am allowed to back out, because this guy is a single lady, he's never good for anything. Aval Bahi Emoduluhu Rabbanan. But in the case of Abba V'Avicha, I might have thought that Rameir's mother Tzricha, therefore I need two cases. I need a case of Abba V'Avicha and a case of accepting one aid. I need the Machlokas to be taught to me in both of those cases. Where does the Gemara stand right now? And therefore what? How did this whole discussion start? This whole discussion started about passing the other guy's dayon, right? And what did we say? That if the other guy's dayon is a mumcha, then for sure you cannot passel the other guy's dayon. Rameir and Lacham both agreed to that. That's how the whole discussion started. That was the yisod. Question we asked was, what do you mean? An aid is just like a dayon mumcha, and you can passel the other guy's aid. Gemara's answer was, you can passel his aid echad. You can't passel shnei aid. Shnei aidim are like a mumcha. You can only passel nei echad. You can't passel shnei aidim. And that answer ends up sticking. Even though we go back and forth questioning that answer, that answer ends up sticking. That you can passel nei echad according to Rabbi Meir, not according to the Chachamim. Good? But a dayan mumcha or shnei aidim, for sure you cannot passel. The problem is, the Gemara says, that there's a problem with the text. Because if you want to tell me that I'm passeling only an Eid Echad, look back at the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says, Ze posel dayano shel zev, zo posel dayano shel zev. Each one could passel the other one's dayano, single, singular, dayan. Then when it talks about passeling the other guy's edim, which we thought meant passeling the we're now claiming means passeling what? The other guy's ed echad, it says ze posel edov shel ze. It should have said edov if it meant singular. We see that the Mishnah is precise with its language, because when it spoke about a singular dayon, it said it in singular form. So why, when it's speaking about a singular aid, would it say it in plural form? We find that the Torah does the exact opposite. The Gemara at the beginning of Masech Sota tells us that whenever the Torah uses the word aid, unless it specifies otherwise, it always means shnei edim, even though it uses singular. But we certainly have no evidence that Chazal, that the Mishnayos, do the opposite. That they're going to say plural and they really mean singular. Can't be. So Hamid Ktani Resha Dayana Vasefa a dove Almadafka Ktani. And we just blew up our answer. And therefore back to the question. How can we say Yisod that you're not allowed to passel a mumcha? Then why are you allowed to passel Shnei Edim, the other guy Shnei Edim? That's just like a mumcha. So one answer that we said was, no, it's singular aid, but we just blew up that answer. So now here's answer number two. Remember I said there are two answers to this question? So there's answer number two. Amr Blazer. You're not passeling one aid, you're passeling two aid. But you aren't one person, you're two people. You come with a friend to passel the two aid. And that's why you have the koach to do it. But as a singular person, of course you cannot passel two aid, nor can you passel the dayan mumcha. But when you come together with somebody else, then you can passel the aid, even though those aid are against you. And that brings us to the sugya of what? Two Edom come to court, let's say, and say that that I owe $1 million. So I go over to my friend, they say, do me a favor, come with me, let's just go say that those Edom are psulim. How could the court possibly accept my testimony that those Edom are psulim? I'm completely biased. If they're psulim, I save $1 million. If they're ksherim, it costs me $1 million. So where's Kasha? Nogei Abedus, so how can you accept that? Before we get to Nogei Abedus, though, a couple of points along the way. The Gemara had, when it was struggling with what's the value of a single aid to begin with, when the Gemara first thought that we're talking about passeling a single aid, right? So the Gemara had said, well, what's that single aid coming to do? If he's coming to be Mechayev Mamon, he's Pasel anyway. You don't need to Pasel. Maybe he's coming to be Mechayev Shvua. Well then, he's just as good as two. He's like a Mumcha L'Rabbi. You can't Pasel him. Now there is a Gemara Mesech Zivam, Mestav Peches. A very famous line the Gemara has. Where the Gemara says, Kol Mokom She'amina Torah Ein Echad, Hareu Kibay Trei. Whenever the Torah believes in Ein Echad, it automatically, that Eid Echad takes on the status of Shnei Edim. So in general, whenever there's an Eid Echad that the Torah says is okay, is acceptable, we treat it like Shnei Edim. And the Chiddush is that if after the Eid Echad is accepted, someone else comes another Eid Echad comes and tries to contradict that original Eid Echad, we say, sorry, your testimony is invalid because you're only an Eid Echad and you're going up against two Eidim. What do you mean I'm going up against two Eidim? It was only one Eid. Yeah, but the Torah believes that one Eid. And whenever the Torah believes that one Eid, we pretend that he cloned himself and that he's really two people. That's the klal. In given circumstances where the Torah says that an Eid Echad has Ne'emanus, we treat him like two Eidim. In that, if another Eid were to come and say that guy's possible, we don't accept him because he's going up against what we consider to be two Eidim. So, there's a major machlokas rishonim about the applicability of that din. Where do we say that rule? That wherever the Torah says that one guy is believed, we're always going to treat him like two Eidim. It's a major discussion in the Achronim when we say that rule. Now, if you want to figure out when we say that rule, when we don't say that rule, you first have to know where the rule is mentioned. Where in Shas is it mentioned? Can you think of any examples where an Eid Echad is good enough? So the first example that will come to my mind, what? Well, to be Mechayev Shavua, an Eid Echad is good enough. Good. Now, it's interesting because over here the Gemara says that in regards to a Shavua, Himuni Mehem and Kebetrei doesn't use that formulation of Kalmakam Sheminitar Eid Echad Areu Kebetrei. So is this the same din? Is this just an application of that din? Or is this in some way an exception to that din? And that's going to be the discussion the Achronim have over here. Meaning, depending on how broadly you define Kol Makom Shemini Torei Lach and Arei Kebei Trei, is Shavua in that category? Or is Shavua later added, even though it doesn't belong in that category? That's the Chiddush of the Gemara, that he's not just believed, but he's Kebei Trei. So, where does this actually come up? What? New? What about Sota? Good. So there is a major sugya at the very beginning of Masech Sota where the Gemara talks about what stages of the Sota process you need Eidim for, and what stages of the Sota process you only need Eid Echad for, right? So the Sota process involves what we call Kinoi and Stira. Kinoi is when a man says to his wife, hey, I don't like, you know, how that guy looks at you or that you're hanging out with that guy so much, so stop it. I don't want you anywhere near that guy. So the Gemara talks about, does that have to be in front of two Eidim, the Kinoi? Or Eid Echad, or nothing, or just he has to say it. And then you have the Stira, the Yichud itself. If you have Eidus to the Yichud, it doesn't immediately make her Chayiv Misa, she then has to go through the whole process of drinking the Meisota. So there are three places in Shas where the Gemara says this concept of Kol Makom Shemini Torei Eid Echad Arei Kishnayim. The Gemara does not say it by Stira of a Sota, by the Sota of Yichud. What if the Sota didn't just have Yichud, one aid was actually in the room and saw her have Bia? And this is after a Kinoi, after the husband had already suspected her, had already said, I don't want you hanging out with that guy. And we know about that. We have Eidus that the husband had suspected her already. And then one Eid saw an actual Bia. So the Gemara says that there's a concept called Raglayim Ladavar. Raglayim Ladavar means, you know, when husbands get jealous about a specific person, when there's smoke, there's fire. And therefore, it's likely that the woman is messing around. And therefore, if there's even a single aid that she was nitmeis, it's like there were two aidim that she nitmeis and vaisota means had bia. So it's likely we treat it as if there were two aidim that they had bia. Another application where the Gemara has it is by Eidos Isha, when a man goes missing and the wife is therefore an aguna. We don't know what to do. So they just published a whole... nowadays, when we think of Aguna, we always think of situations where you have a jerk of a husband who refuses to give his wife a get. But we know exactly where he is, and we know what he's up to, and we know he just doesn't want to give his wife a get. Classically, that was not how most agunas happened. Classically, centuries ago, the way agunas happened, or even, you know, World War II, the way agunas happened was no evidence that the husband is dead. And you don't know where he is. So to what degree do we trust the fact that we don't know where he is as evidence that he must not exist anymore, that he must be dead? The classic Aguna situation came up again, unfortunately, recently, 10 years ago, almost to the day, in 9/11. Because all the people that were with the husbands on the 100 and whatever floor are also gone. And we don't have a body, because everything's pulverized. So that's where we got into very interesting discussions, unfortunate but interesting discussions, about DNA evidence. What if they find a little bit of the husband's DNA? Does that prove anything? Well, it proves that his body was once in the buildings. Does it prove that he was there then? How much do you have, right? So, and we get into the questions of tracing cell phone calls, tracing, you know, the fact that something showed up on caller ID when, 5 minutes before the towers went down or something like that. So that's the classic Aguna situation. In a classic Aguna situation, if an Eid Echot comes back and says, Meis Balech, your husband died, he's Neman. The reason he's Neman is because we have a Chazaka that the woman wouldn't remarry unless she really was 100% sure. She did some of her own investigation and her own gut feeling, and we trust it. And therefore the Eid Echot is Neman. Kibay Trey, he's Neman like two Eidim. But what's the classic case where we believe in Eid Echad? More than Shavuot, there's a more classic case where we believe in Eid Echad. You go home tonight, or Shabbos, or whatever, and your mom serves food. So you say to your mom, listen, I'd love to eat this this meat, it looks great. You know, who's the Mashkiach? And she'll say to you, you know, switch out of that yeshiva, or, you know, what in the world? What are you talking about? Well, who's mashkiach? How can I trust you that the food is kosher? Was there a mashkiach? Were there mashkiachim here that were making sure that this, you know, that since it came home from, you know, the kosher packaging or whatever, and since it was open, that it's kosher food and it wasn't tampered with, etc. So, does every husband have to do that with his wife? Does every have to hire mashkiachim? No, of course not. There's halacha eid echad em b'yisurin. Most practically, the Gemara talks about it in the following context: a woman comes back from the mikveh. Husband says, last I knew you were in Ida. Did you go to the mikvah? She says, yes. Well, where's the Eidos? No, you don't need Eidos that you went to the mikvah. Right? Eid Echad. And Eid Echad, when we believe Eid Echad be Isurin, is the halacha that Eid Echad never be Isurin. When it comes to Mamon and Davar Shemam Pachs Mishnayim. When it comes to Davar Shemam Erva, also, you need Shnei Eid. Yeah, schema of davar shabarva, but by regular just isra v'heter, eid echad is good enough. And when we say eid echad is good enough, the eid echad could be a woman. The eid echad, right? It could even be a karov, a puzzle. Eid echad is not b'isurin. The only person it can't be is someone who's chashur on that isra. So if you go to a store that's owned by a person who doesn't keep kosher themselves, and you say, well, how do I know this stuff is kosher? And they say, I'm telling you, it's kosher. I don't have Ashkacha, but I'm telling you, the stuff I buy, it has no U on the box. I promise. So the halacha is obviously the person has no ne'emanus. But typically speaking, ne'edach is nem b'isurin. Do you say ne'edach is nem kivei trei? Ne'edach nem b'isurin? So that's a major discussion in the Rishonim. The Ritva writes that only by those kinds of situations that be'etzem you really need to aid him. It's just that the Torah made an exception, like by a davar sheba erva, a guy coming saying a husband died. Normally by a davar sheba erva you need to aid him. Or that the woman slept with somebody. If you want to convict somebody of sleeping with someone they're not allowed to, you need to aid him. But the Torah made an exception by Yisota. The Torah made an exception about Meis Balech. So said the Ritva, only in those cases do we say that the Eid Echad is Kibay Trei. But in cases where the Torah never required to aid them to begin with, like Eid Echad Yisurim, then we don't have such a klal. and there is no rule of Hamina Torah Kibay Trey. Other Achronim, other Rishonim rather, I think the Ritva even quotes, other Rishonim, disagree and say no, whenever the Torah believes Eid Echad, it's always Kibay Trey. We always treat it like two Eidim. So, depending how you understand which side you take in that machlokas. So what about for a shavua? So to be mechayev a shavua, it's a monetary case. You're dealing with a dinim amanus case. Reuven and Shimon, normally to require anything in a dinim amanus case, you need to weigh them. Right? But that's only if you want to be motzi mamon. If you're only trying to be mechayev a shavua, you know, you don't need two eidim, you only need one eid to be mechayev a shavua. So should you say that one eid is kibay trei, is like two eidim? Well, it depends. If you hold that we only say kibay trei in situations that be'etzim you really need two eidim, well, over here you don't need two eidim. So we shouldn't say it's kibay trei. But if you say no, we say that the eid echad is kibay trei by all cases where we believe in eid echad, then by shavua it should also be kibay trei. So how much of a chiddush is this idea that the Gemara says, il l'shvua mehem rikivei trei. So I saw over here in this, the Yalkut Biurim, in the Masifta, he says, he phrased it as a kasha. That if you say that by shvua, it's not shaykh to say, hemin atara kivei trei, well then what's going on over here in the Gemara? Why do we believe in kivei trei? Right, the way he phrases it is, it's not just okay, they're saying an extra chiddush. If you hold like the Ritva, that we only believe Kibay Trey in situations where Be'etzim you really need to aid him, and Chazal made an exception, like by Eidos Isha, like by Eidos Sota. But in a situation where there never was a chiyuv for to aid him, we don't believe in Kibay Trey, then why over here do we believe Kibay Trey? Why does the Gemara say that for sure we do believe Kibay Trey? Say quotes from Achronim. I don't know who the Achronim are. That's why I'm quoting it from here, because I can't find where he got it from. In the name of the Ran, based on a Ran in Maseches Shavuos, where you know what? I don't fully understand it. I'll have to come back to that. I don't fully understand it. We'll leave it as a kasha. We'll leave that as a kasha. Okay. Vayter. One more small ha'ara before we begin Nogea Be'edos. Actually, you know what? Let's leave out the small ha'ara. Let me just frame for you Nogea Be'edos a little bit. Basically, the entire sugya of Nogea Be'edus, at least the way the Stipler understands it and the way that they say it in yeshivas, you know, the way that that's widely accepted, hinges on one chakira. I don't always give shiurim like this. Like, the whole last week hinged on one chakira about whether the purpose of din is for shalom or emes. Well, Nogea Be'edus also hinges on one chakira, one fundamental chakira, and that is, why is someone who is affected, Nogea just means affected, by the case, possible to be made about the case? Why is someone who's affected possible to be made? So, no, what are you tying?
We'll just spend a lot of time discussing
that
as well.
So, no, because he's biased, so what's he going to do? He'll lie. Right? So, one possibility is anyone who's affected will lie to make, you know, for his own favor. Which is what probably all of us would have thought. Nogea Be'edus, of course, I'm going to lie because I'm Nogea Be'edus. The other possibility, though, and there are several nafkaminas, and we're going to have to see many, many of the machloks who may hinge on this. The other possibility is that when there's a case between Reuven and Shimon, and I'm Levi, right? So I'm unaffected by this case. The case isn't about me. It's not about me at all, right? But let's say I stand to gain or lose from this case. So I'm not an aide on this case. I'm one of the parties to this case. Forget about a concern I might lie. I could be the most honest person in the whole world and I would never tell a lie. But Reuven can't testify in his own case. Shimon can't testify in the case. If I'm no geya, if it affects me in some way, I'm a party to the case. I'm a baldavar in the case. That's why I can't testify. That's the other possibility. Chashash meshaker? Or that the person is an actual baldavar. Yeah. Because they might lie. So then you have to. So what we need to do is isolate the chashash meshaker. If we can come up with cases, which we will, where you are affected, but we have no reason to assume you're lying, or we have every reason to assume you're telling the truth, does that take away the problem of baldavar? And the answer is it doesn't take away the problem of baldavar. If somehow we were able to tell that Reuven and Shimon were definitely not lying, I mean, for instance, Aaron and Moshe want to come and be made together, be Edom together in a court case. We know they're not lying. They're Aaron, Akoyin, and Moshe Rabbeinu. They still can't be made together. Why? Because they're Krovim. Krovim has nothing to do with Chashash Meshaker. Two relatives can't be made together. That's what the Torah says. It's nothing to do with Chashash Meshaker. So as being a Baldavar, you want to say, well, being a Baldavar is a Chashash Meshaker. What we're going to show is that being a Baldavar is not a Chashash Meshaker. It's a separate psul. And therefore, we're going to have a lot of nafkaminas in terms of Nogea. What is the primary issue of Nogea? Just one thing I want to tell you before we get into the sugya. Some guys were asking me about this in the Beis Medrash. I want to say it a little more clearly now because I said it a little wrong when I was talking to you guys before. There is a Gemara Maseches Bava Basra. The Gemara Maseches Bava Basra talks about, and Daf Mem Dalid, talks about the idea of a person not wanting to be begeder lo v'rasha v'lo yishalim. A person not wanting to make himself into a guy who doesn't pay back. What does that mean? That means as follows. Let's say I borrowed money from you. So I owe you a lot of money. If I don't have cash, you're going to come and collect it from fields that I own, right? I have subsequently sold one of those fields to Reuven. So you're going to come and collect a field from Reuven, right? That would be the normal process. Now Reuven will then come to me and say, hey, the field was taken away from me, you owe me, and he'll sue me for that. Unless I sold the field to Reuven, shelo b'achrayus. I knock down the price a little bit, and I don't take achrayus for the field. So now, you're going to collect it from Reuven, and I'm good. Reuven can't come to me. It is clearly in my best interest for Reuven to have that field so that you can use it to collect, so that you can collect your money from that field. What if Shimon then comes along and says, Reuven, that field doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me. Now, I certainly never sold it to Shimon. I have no relationship with Shimon. You're not going to be able to collect it from Shimon. You're only going to be able to collect it from Reuven. Who do I want to win that case? I want Reuven to win that case. Why do I want Reuven to win that case? Because I don't want to be a lover rush of a lo yishalim. I don't want to be a bad guy who doesn't pay back my debts. I owe you money. My only chance of paying it back is by Reuven having that field. I want to pay back my money. So I don't want to be a lover rush of a lo yishalim. That sugya forms the backbone of our chakira. It's up to you to figure out tomorrow by looking at the Shach carefully how that sugya forms the backbone of Aruch Hakira. But I will look at the Gemara in Bava Basra just to have it clear in case you didn't get it now. If, you know, may want to listen to this later on once I post it online. Just again, have that case clear, then you'll be able to figure out what the Shach and the Sma are talking about when they discuss this issue of Nogea Be'edus. Okay? Good.